welcome to episode 49 of Black Girl Squeak, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a
squeak.
I am Dee Dee, and on Twitter I go by Des Daughter.
I'm Enda, and on Twitter I am Enda's Corner.
Together you can find us at Black Girl Squeak, where we have links to this show and others that are on this network, including Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast, where we recently talked about episode 7 called San Francisco, and that is the episode everybody remembers as the one where they get butt booty naked. That's important. So our email is at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Podcasts, and by searching in your favorite podcatching app using our RSS feed or just searching for Black Girl Squee. If all else fails, you can find us and all our episodes at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. Black Girl Squee, Simplecast, FM. With some dots in it. There's also a Patreon. Patreon.com/BlackGirlSquee. If you want to donate and keep this running, this shit ain't free and it ain't even cheap, so all help will be appreciated. Enda has her own Patreon, and I will let her talk about the status of that site. Take it away, Enda.
Well, as you know, a few days ago, Patreon initially was going to charge supporters more fees to support the creators that they wanted to. Well, after that, I decided I was going to deactivate the Patreon, but then they rescinded and said, oh, you know, we messed up. You know, we're not going to implement those new fees. So right now, initially, I'm still leaning more toward deactivating it, but I'm gonna decide before the end of the month, because my initial plans for what I was gonna do, though, those aren't coming, you know, together, because, you know, don't make enough on the Patreon for that, and plus, but I was also thinking of redoing the Patreon anyway to like do different reward levels or different support levels and that. But so I'm going to give it a couple of days and decide what I really want to do, you know, to whether I'm going to end it or whether I'm going to keep it going. But it'll be before next month. So that's all I can say about that right now.
Yeah. So all the people that, Patreon's not doing shit for all the people who lost subscribers while they were still trying to figure their shit out.
Yep.
So fuck you very much for that.
Pretty much let us know that if we were like lower level, if we didn't have like a whole lot of, you know, big, you know, large donations or subscribers, then we really weren't worth, you know, their time. So that's another reason why I'm thinking of just deactivating.
Yeah. Poor people matter.
Yeah.
Assholes. Starving artists matter. You fuckheads. But as with most things in this country, most of the people that matter to them, that get the big donations, that have thousands of subscribers are white. It's like on every platform, it's like YouTube, Vine, every platform, it wouldn't be half as good without the work of people of color. But we rarely reap the benefits. And they were, Patreon wanted to punish us. They'd already, tried to chase sex workers up out of there. So, that was the first message that, undesirables were not going to get the support from this company because, so yeah, I'm still not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not even make into double digits on the Patreon. So I don't know. I probably should deactivate, but, I don't know. I wanted to make sure that I had some place to jump to so I could continue doing stuff for
at least look
for the two or three people that do that are interested in it.
Yeah.
So once again, fuck you, Patreon. And that leads into just some notes about the show. Guess what? We cuss. We're grown. You'll deal with it. We also spoil shit sometimes. So yeah, we spoil shit. If we talk about a show, more than likely we're gonna spoil it. That's your warning. So. With that, we will move on to Squeeworthy News.
All right. And our first item in Squeeworthy News, we are looking at a story from The Atlantic. As you may have heard, there was a special election in Atlanta. I mean, Alabama, sorry. For women as well in Atlanta, a lot of black people showed up. Anyway, Doug Jones won the Alabama Senate seat because of mostly black women voters.
Oh, wait. I wanted to do something.
Because they did play the headway. He was
for a smooth 30 seconds at the end of his
his victory speech. Oh my gosh. Okay. But just a breakdown of what happened prior to the election. You know, they did the polling, but the polling was inaccurate and poorly done, and so major press outlets were saying that black voters in Alabama didn't even know there was an election. They said they weren't energized or engaged. Okay, well, they were saying that, then they started saying that that his win was hinged on black voter turnout, and this is despite some massive voter suppression. I mean, they talked about how the gerrymandering worked in Alabama, this is actually why it's a red state, because they've gerrymandered that place to death. And also they've taken voting rights away from lots of people for like ID issues. They've closed like all of the counties with the with like a 75% black population or more. They've closed down their like DMVs and stuff. So, you know, they can't even get ID.
So like the black belt, which is not called the black belt because of the fertile soil, MSNBC.
Yeah.
It's because that's where the black people are. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Y'all too old to be that naive. Yeah. But also, voter suppression is one of the things that few people in the media talk about when they talk about this race.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they either, you know, want to praise us, you know, for turning out, or want to blame us if it doesn't go the way they think it does. And apparently in Alabama, black people are only 27% of the population.
26.8. Like, not even.
Okay. So, well, election time came and they found at the exit polls. Black voter turnout was higher than expected. And it was especially high-end counties that had the highest black populations. So it seems that although many white voters weren't convinced to vote for Jones, the allegations against Moore persuaded many of them to stay home. Wow.
I wish more of them had stayed home.
Well, yeah, but it's like, if you can't even, like, you'd rather not vote than to cast a vote for somebody who's not a pedophile. There is something wrong with you. Okay.
Well, they're like way too loyal to that trash ass party.
They are. I mean, I know people talk about how we're loyal to like the Democratic Party, but I know we'll talk about this a little later. We're actually not. Okay. We're not that devoted to them. It's just that we have to look out for our own interests. And there is no way a Republican in power is going to be for our best interest.
Especially not that one.
Yeah, especially. He's not anybody. Even without the racist stuff and, you know, the homophobia and all that, like, he molested children.
Yeah.
How does that not just immediately make you back up away from, you know what? No. No.
White supremacy is a hell of a
it drug. Is.
I guess.
It's gotta
I don't
be.
Know.
It's got to be, because there's no other explanation for that. Because, I mean, of a known pedophile who chases after young girls, early teenage girls, and you still like, well, but no. There's no but about that. Okay. But anyway, we talked about the voter suppression that had strong effect on black votes, but yet we still showed up. And we have to give this victory to the grassroots organizers who did the work that led to the victory. And they said actually that they didn't have, you know, like the backing and support of Jones's people. They did this on their own. So, you know, Jones and his camp were not behind the grassroots organizers who went on the ground and did the work.
But Tom Perez wants to swoop in and claim this victory for the DNC and say, oh, we donated, we gave them $1 million to fund their efforts. Like, there's no way that money was enough for all of the calls, all of the door-to-doors, all of the different programs that were needed to fight voter suppression, raise awareness, and basically bring those numbers in. So yeah, the DNC needs to be quiet and give all the glory to folks like the NAACP and other grassroots organizations in the state.
Right. Okay. So yeah, those groups, they register people who have felonies, because many still don't realize that they have voting rights. You know, now. They spread awareness to people who might not have had proper ID, and they tried to remove all the barriers, the structures that kept black voters away from the polls. And look what happened. Yeah, black women, 98%. Black men,
92%.
And 63% of white women voted for Roy Moore. Voted for not only a man who's a pedophile, but who also would take their voting rights away because he doesn't believe they should vote.
Said that the country was better
but
under
hey,
slavery.
Y'all voted for him.
Y'all saw that 53% in 2016 and said, hold my beer.
Exactly.
This is why we can't trust you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep. What if somebody says that white women going to have to show up to them with blood test and all this other criteria to have a conversation with her.
Like, yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Like, you're going to have to show up with all your educational credentials, show me what grassroots stuff or, you know, whose PayPal you done donated to. Because other than that, I don't want to hear from you. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't even care about your education.
Not really.
Because that don't matter, because across class, across education.
Ooh, sure did.
Most of y'all white people.
Sure did.
Voted for a pedophile.
Yep.
Y'all really think that being a Democrat is worse than being an accused pedophile. All right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, among the people leading the charge to vote Doug Jones in was Alabama's first black female judge. I think her name says Faye Touré. I hope I said that right. Yes, she was among women leading the charge. She had a vote or die campaign which targeted the state's Black Belt region, which is a string of nearly 20 counties with high black populations, which is what we mentioned earlier. She rallied volunteers to distribute bumper stickers and yard signs at football games and rallies. Oh, that's smart. Especially if it's Friday mm-hmm. night football at high school. That's smart because, yes.
In Alabama.
Now, if y'all not Southern, high school football on Friday night is religion. That's how you do it. Okay. Without endorsing any one candidate, her campaign, which consisted of about 30 organizers, worked to raise voter participation among Alabama's black residents. Damn, just 30 people did that? Okay. Wow.
Girl, this is why people be saying yeah, black must magic, be. Though. Sometimes we be making yes. a way out of no way.
Okay, but you know, Democrats are celebrating. You know, they're you know happy about you know winning this major victory on Trump's turf. They said that the Democrats hope that this victory means that they can flip a lot more congressional seats in the midterm elections next year. I sure as hell hope so, because they want to halt the progress with the tax bill. Because Republicans are trying to go full speed ahead, like you said, with that trash. And also want to use this to further impugn y'all's president's character, because that ain't my president.
Nope, yep. Not mine either. Fuck him. Democrats want Republicans to wait for Jones to be seated next year in January, which is only a couple of weeks away. And so he can vote on the bill because when Supreme Court Justice Scalia died, they urged Obama to wait until the people decide the next president before another Supreme Court seat was filled. And this was when Obama had about a little less than a year left in office. So, and of course, Democrats want to always look like the bigger person. So they waited, even though it made no sense. Mm-hmm. And Republicans are not going to return the favor. They've already pushed this.
They never do,
which is why Democrats need to stop trying to be so nice and hoping that, you know, make them look. I mean, that might make them look good in the meantime, but they just look weak to everybody else.
Yep.
And Republicans count on that weakness and to just run roughshod over the whole fucking country. Because this tax bill ain't helping nobody but corporations.
Yep. Okay. But anyway, This was actually this really was a major win for kind of everybody. Because I mean, what does it say that y'all let that Mordu get as far as he did, and still that was not enough to make a whole lot of people step back like, yeah, not a good idea. So, okay. So to black women in Alabama, to the ones who led the grassroots campaigns, who did the footwork on the ground, we give you a big
to all those people that either missed work or went to work and got to the polls and stayed in line late. All those black women, even though they had to go back to work in the morning, like all of those, yeah, just bravo to you for doing what had to be done, because these white folks wasn't going to do it.
Nope.
All right, so. Instead of your empty thanks, how about supporting some black women in politics?
Yes.
And Essence Magazine has a list of 5 women in politics to watch for. So be watching for and supporting by helping donate to Stacey Abrams' campaign. She is a candidate for governor in Georgia. Georgia has never had a black governor.
Wow.
And the entire country has never had a black female governor. So Stacey Abrams is trying to break new ground and be the first. Abrams went to Spelman, followed by Yale Law School, and became a deputy city attorney before the age of 30. what do Amber and Jasmine say? Black women to gods? Black women to gods. shout out to a Black Toy mixtape. So she's spent over a decade as an elected official and has lobbied hard for public education. And despite the trend toward charter schools and works consistently to register and mobilize black voters. And she also advocates for criminal justice reform. So if you can, please support Stacey Abrams as a candidate for governor in Georgia. Next black woman in politics to watch is LaToya Cantrell, who is a candidate for mayor in New Orleans. I guess we're gonna hear this again and again, but New Orleans has never had a black woman mayor. She's trying to be the first. God, it's about to be 2018 and we still doing this first shit. But, you're going to like this. Cantrell went to Xavier University. After Hurricane Katrina, she worked to organize her community and rebuild the Broadmoor section of New Orleans. So she was elected as a councilwoman in 2012, where she champions affordable housing and policing reforms, including improving reentry programs for ex-convicts and community policing. Man. Black women just be knowing where to focus their energies. What needs to change? So LaToya Cantrell is working to become the next mayor of New Orleans. So if you can, please support her. Next is Inez Barron, who is working to become a candidate for New York City Council. Barron was an educator and principal for 30 years. And she is more of a Black radical. And so, hey, I'm with that because I'm on record as saying that Black centrists make my ass itch. And I stand by that. I know Obama is a centrist, and I'm not saying that I don't like and appreciate some of the policies that he enacted. I do appreciate the ACA and, you know, the net neutrality regulations and a lot of the things that y'all's president is trying to undo. But centrists make my ass itch. So, so she's been espousing Black radical politics, and so far it has not hindered her political success.
Yes.
She won a seat in the New York State Assembly in 2008, and then won a seat in the New York City Council. So during her tenure, Barron has secured thousands of affordable housing units for her district's largely Black residents, curbing gentrification in the process.
Ooh, please.
Let me move to New York I can vote for you.
I know, right?
Can you help replicate this stuff in D.C.? Because we need your help, Inez. Because they're trying to take over. They don't even want us drumming and playing go-go music in front of the Capital One Center. Winning the Democratic primary with 84% of the vote. All right, girl. So she's trying to get reelected to New York City Council. And so far she doesn't have a challenger, but we'll see. If that changes, but still, even if she had a challenger, you know, it's easier for incumbents, which is why so many of us voted so that Chump would not become one. Oh my God, y'all. Anyways, tangent. Our next Black woman in politics to watch for is Jennifer Carol Foy, who is running to become a candidate for the Virginia House of Delegates. What's up? Okay. My neck of the woods. The thing is, Virginia is a red. It's a red state and There's pockets of red. I think the whole state actually voted for Clinton, but I don't remember. But definitely large pockets of red throughout the state. And her district is really red, and she's hoping to make it more blue. Carol Foy is a public defender, and she is 35. She won the Democratic primary against another Black political hopeful. The race was close. She plans to focus on transportation, education, criminal justice reform, and protecting women's rights. So it seems like most of the people that we've talked about so far are definitely about criminal justice reform. So that is good that is on their their list of things to change. And the last Black woman in politics to watch out for, according to Essence, is Yvette Simpson. And she's running for mayor in Cincinnati. So even in 2017, going to be 2018, there's only a very small group of Black women who have served as mayor of a major American city. We recently just saw Vi Lyles become the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina. She grew up in a low-income housing area in Lincoln Heights, and she was the first in her family to graduate from college. She is an employment and labor lawyer and a member of the Cincinnati City Council, where she beat an incumbent, so that's good. And if she wins her campaign for mayor, she hopes to tackle the city's economic inequalities and improve the city's transit system, strengthen small businesses, and develop a workforce that can meet modern demands in technology and advanced manufacturing. So those are five Black women in politics that you need to watch out for and you need to support in any way you can, be it financially, if you're in those areas where they're running, join the campaign on the grassroots level, build up awareness about these candidates, you know, talk them up in your neighborhoods and help them win. So to all of these women, we give a big
All right. So I'm on to some Black girl magic in a different area. We finally got the Golden Globe nominations, and there were a handful of Black women who did get some nods. Issa Rae got a nod, I believe, for acting for Insecure. Did she get Best Lead Actress in a comedy series, I believe? She didn't get one for writing? Damn. Okay, well, I'm sure we'd have found out that she had two nods if she did, so yeah. Mary J. Blige got two nominations, one for Supporting Actress in a Film, and I do believe another is for Music. She had a song on the Mudbound soundtrack as well as a supporting acting role in that. So Mary got two. And of course, Octavia Spencer has a supporting nod for The Shape of Water. It's that Guillermo del Toro film, which when I realized she was in it, I got to see it now because I love Octavia Spencer. And Mariah Carey got a nod. What did she get a nod for? I don't.
Oh. Best song. She's in that Christmas movie. She has a song in that Christmas movie,
really?
The Star.
I did not know that. Okay, well.
It's Mariah Carey. Christmas gives her power.
So we had four Golden Globe nominations, but we will have a bit more to say about that later. But,
because there should have been more.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that in a minute. But for right now, we're just going to, you know, give these ladies their props and their congratulations. And so for Issa Rae, Mary J., Octavia, and Mariah, we give you a big scream!
So, speaking of Golden Globe snubs, Tiffany Haddish will executive produce and star in a new project with John Cho. You probably don't need me to read anymore after that. That's all you need to know, right?
Basically.
Just let you know when it drops and we're good, right?
I didn't realize she was going to be starring in it, too. I saw that she was going to be a producer. But like, wait, they're going to be on screen together.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
bounce that ass on John Cho just one time. Just one time for the culture.
For the culture. The culture needs this.
Okay. Anyways, the project, as if you care, you just you just want to know when it drops. Exactly. But the name of it is called The Oath, and it is a satirical thriller. GQ Entertainment, which is the producer and financier behind the big hit Get Out, will work on this film as well. And according to The Hollywood Reporter, the script is timely and set in a politically divided America where citizens have to take an oath of loyalty. The story focuses on a man who has to make it through the Thanksgiving holiday without destroying his family. Wow. Well, I can tell you 63% of white women are probably not going to take that oath of loyalty. This is in addition to that Kevin Hart movie that Tiffany Haddish is also going to be in, and which also stars Yvonne Orji from Insecure. So she's got a lot of projects. She might not personally be thinking about a Golden Globe snub because she's too busy, but we'll be mad for her. So. But in the meantime, we're going to be happy about and looking forward to this new movie with John Cho. So to Tiffany Haddish, we give a squeeze!
All right. So for all of our literary types, literature fans, there's some big news coming out of the the publishing world. There's been a Finnish manuscript of one of Zora Neale Hurston's books that she completed before she died. And so they're about to make that book available next year. The book is called Barracoon, The Story of the Last Slave. Wow. The publisher, HarperCollins, says that Barracoon tells the true story of the last known survivor of the Atlantic slave trade, illegally smuggled from Africa on the last black cargo ship to arrive in the United States. Holy shit. The book is scheduled to come out on May 8th next year, like I said, but you can pre-order it now. And you want to pre-order me a copy, I will accept any book donation, any book gift. So, and I love Zora Neale Hurston. She's one of my favorite writers of all time. Even though she was a Republican, but hey,
that was before the parties flipped in ideology.
Republicans then also were still kind of moving toward that self-reliance, or that you shouldn't quote unquote depend on the government, which is interesting because she benefited from like the Works of Project thing that happened after World War II. Roosevelt's thing, she benefited from that, but
the writers,
yes, yeah, the WPA. Anyway, talented writer and unfortunately lost to history for many years before Alice Walker retrieved her. So, but I still, like I said, I want this book because I bet it's going to be good. I mean, the subject matter alone, holy shit. So for Zora Neale Hurston, for black women who are looking forward to another completed work from this excellent writer, we give a big squeeze!
Kylie Bunbury has been tapped as the lead for the new Get Christy Love reboot. So a lot of black exploitation coming back.
Yeah.
Like we talked about Cleopatra Jones last episode, and now Get Christy Love. Okay. Shadow and Act reports that Kylie will be the new lead for the show. It's produced by Vin Diesel, Deborah Martin Chase, and Shanna C. Waterman. Wow. Oh, Vin Diesel trying to work with black people now? Okay.
Yeah, he has.
Because he's been working that ambiguity for a while.
But then he gonna come back and like, making okay, mad money off I got of in. It, so. Come on okay. Now. Door open. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, if you want to do that, that's the way to do it. So, Get Christy Love will be written by power creator Courtney Kemp, who explains that the reboot is an action-packed, music-driven drama that centers on Christy Love, a black female CIA agent who leads an elite ops unit. She transforms into whoever she needs to be to get the job done, especially when it's down to the wire and the stakes are life and death. The high adrenaline missions of the series are anchored by an emotional mystery about Christy's first love. Unearthing the truth about this relationship will be the biggest mission impossible yeah. of her life.
Well, they had me at Collie Bunbury, to be honest.
Whatever. I'm sold. Okay. Basically.
I'm sorry. Sorry, but, well, oh you gosh, have to...
Why do you have to make this note? Of course, we remember Kylie most recently.
Yeah.
For Pitch. And Under the Dome from CBS, and of course ABC Family's Twisted.
Well, Pitch.
Miss Pitch. But if you miss it too, check out our other podcast, Get Her in the Game, a Pitch podcast that I do with Olivia, and we recap the show, and
well, let's just
say, talk about why we love it and miss it.
I was just saying to make you feel better. Let's just say, so, okay, she's doing this. Let's just say Nicole Beharie did get Cleopatra Jones, and this crossed over some type of way. Let's just imagine that type of awesomeness. Yeah, because let's just imagine that type of awesomeness right now.
You trying to kill me?
Yeah.
I would die. So to Kylie Bunbury, we give a big, big score. Now for the fuck shit. It's time for Catch the Fade. And we got a jam-packed extra full Catch the Fade right now.
Yep.
I think we might as well just load up the chopper and let that thing spray, because everybody can get some, pretty much. Everybody can get some. But especially the 63% of white, and that's just the white women.
Yep.
The majority of white men in Alabama also voted for a pedophile. And, you know, that whole college educated over versus non-college educated, that's a smokescreen. That's a goose chase. If Democrats start chasing after those votes, mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on black women who have held you down, you're going to be taking L's in 2018 and 2020. But enough of that. Let's get on these white women. As Inda said before, 63% of these people voted for that piece of shit mayor, senatorial candidate, Roy Moore. Just because he was a Republican or for whatever reason, I don't know. Essence had a great article called At the polls, black women saved the day while white women voted against their best interests again.
Yeah.
Which, yes. I wish I had the tweet pulled up, but somebody said that we need to get it in our heads that they are voting exactly. their interests. Their interests just don't align with ours. And probably never did. The interest that they prioritize over everything else is upholding white supremacy. So once we get it through our heads, and then once the Democratic Party gets it through their heads, they can stop wasting their energy on them and focus on the people that actually win you elections and help get them in power, place in seats of power. Just reading from that Essence article, while some Democratic leaders have begun to shift focus to conservative white voters in the aftermath of Trump's presidential win, the success of Doug Jones in Alabama on Tuesday shows yes. that counting on white women to support Democrats may be a misguided endeavor, even if the Republican candidate is a sexual predator, a misogynist, or a bigot. Mm-hmm. These voters should be so ashamed of themselves. But they're not. And it's time we stop.
Yep.
It's time we take off the kid gloves linguistically. Figuratively and literally. We need to take the kid gloves off when we're dealing with them. They're not people that we can win over. They are the opposition.
Sure.
More from the article. The election captured national attention in large part because it serves as a litmus test for where the country is headed politically, and some would say morally, as we gear up for the 2018 midterm elections. What this race, the fact it was so close, and last year's presidential race have shown is that the Republicans are not the party of the moral majority.
Yes.
That's gone. They never were, but after your sexual predator of a president supported an accused pedophile, any claim of being the moral majority and wrapping that around evangelical bullshit is just laughable. It's straight comedy.
Yes.
White women's support of Moore may give people flashbacks of 2016. But these flashbacks can extend even further due to one basic fact. The majority of white women vote Republican regardless of the candidate. Let me say that again. The majority of white women vote Republican regardless of the candidate. And this is because they align themselves with the party that makes it clear that protecting white power is its priority. Whether they lose reproductive rights, equal pay, or the affirmative action policies that benefit them over people of color, basically. Basically. Whew. Democrats need to get this through their heads. I really, really do, because I've heard way too many news and politics podcasters, read too much from politicians like y'all's boy Bernie Sanders, that they keep trying to chase this white vote that don't want them. Was that Project? No, it's not Project Pat, or is it Pastor Troy? Anyway, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. That's what Democrats need to get that in their heads. She don't want to be saved. So there's that. The 63% along with their sisters, the 53% that voted for this Cheeto head to get in the White House, they can catch the fake. I just wanted to read this article because I was mad enough, but this took me over the top.
A reductress is
this
so funny sometimes.
This like the Onion, or is this actually real? Yeah. Okay, so this isn't actually like real. Onion. I won't read. Okay,
this
so
is satire.
If these aren't real quotes, then I won't read it. But
But they make a good point, though. I mean, that's the thing. Satire, when satire gets too real.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't. I thought this was actually real. Like, this sounds like. This sounds like stuff that fragile white feminists would say. But anyways, if you want to check it out, it's on reductress.com. It's called White Women Thank Themselves for Thanking Black Women Today.
Because they did. A lot of white men, too, the ones who call themselves feminists, and they looked they looked so idiotic.
Doing the most on Twitter because they know they ain't going to do nothing anywhere else.
No, it's like they said, Mark Ruffalo, he's talking, they doing that God is a black woman thing. And so somebody asked him, how many black actresses, directors, female directors, and producers have you worked with? I never saw him answer that.
Yeah. I mean, weren't he and Captain America also inviting that racist child to the Infinity War premiere? So, yeah. Yeah, y'all can shut all the way up.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. Keep your thanks to yourself, because you out here bringing white supremacists to the goddamn Infinity War premiere. Okay. There's another article from a Jezebel blog called The Slot, and it's called White Women Keep Fucking Us Over.
just straight
you
to
know
the
it's
point.
Wild because you can't have the F-bomb in the goddamn title.
Just straight
but,
to the point.
Okay.
Yep.
That's true. So this just reiterates that white women's voting pensions go all the way back to the elections of Ronald Reagan, which introduced the term gender gap into the political consciousness. In 84, Reagan won 54% of the men's vote, and only 46% of the entire women's vote. And that gap was attributed again to women of color. 93% of black women, like even back then.
Yep.
Even back then, girl. 73% of Jewish women, 65% of Latinx women voted for Walter Mondale and vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro. So, once again, white women had a white woman they could have voted for. They chose the white guy, who had some sexual abuse accusations that nobody seemed to ever follow up on, according to this article. So, y'all just really like y'all selves some predators. Okay.
Just gonna add that to the profile.
We're just going to add that to the profile of folks that y'all vote for. All right. Trash. So the article continues, in many respects, white American women voters have proven to be interested in one thing, maintaining the status quo, which comes at the expense of everyone who doesn't currently benefit from it. The wealthier white women who vote Republican, and come on, stop doing this whole class and SES subsection of this. It's just white women, because I know there's some poor white women that vote Republican too.
Oh, of course.
It's gotta be. Anyways, the white women who vote Republican weren't voting to expand access to birth control or abortion, or for a commitment to civil rights and criminal justice reform, or they would have voted for Jones, who supports all of that. They have nothing to gain with increased access to civil services. Rather crucially, they have something, i.e. status, an often false sense of security, and a hearkening back to traditional values to lose. That means that much to them?
These are the same people who were, like, a couple of months ago, "President Trump, please don't take away my health care. I need it." I'm like, you voted for him. What you think he was going to do? Did you think it wasn't going to be you too?
I didn't know that was Obamacare. I didn't know the Affordable Care Act was Obamacare.
I just thought it was bad because it had Obama in the title.
That's why Republicans changed the name. That's why they changed the messaging.
I thought you were just going to take it away from them colored folks. Girl. Girl. I don't know why poor white people think Republicans care about them, because they don't.
Think about it while they pay more taxes and have less health care and they're gonna try to vote them same fuckers back in 2018.
You know it.
So, so this whole performance of admiration and support for black women, that y'all like to do online, that can catch the fade. Let me see some receipts of actual support of black women. Because, if it ain't folding money, we really don't need it from you. We don't need anything else from you. We don't need your condescending words that seem kind and flattering.
But it's really dehumanizing.
Basically, because... Y'all keep fucking up and expecting us to clean up after you. And when we do, we get all these grand shows of admiration, but they're not backed up by anything. So it's empty words, and I don't want it. Give me that folding money. And shut the fuck up. That's it. Shut the fuck up and give me your money. New hashtag. That's too long. Never mind.
Oh, we got 280 characters on Twitter right now. So
that's still a long ass hashtag. Oh wait, we can make it. We can make it an acronym: STFU. And give me money, but just dollar signs.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we'll work on that later. I'm not as good at this as April Rain is. along with that performance, what can catch the fade is the idea that Black women was even trying to save y'all raggedy asses. Black women in Alabama went out to vote because they knew that motherfucker Roy Moore was absurd and a lunatic and not going to enact any policies that would make them or their families safer. And also because he's a fucking accused pedophile.
Why do you need to know anything more than that? I'm just, why do you need to know anything more than that? Y'all are absurd.
Y'all really think that a pro-choice Democrat from Alabama is worse than a fucking accused pedophile.
You call yourself pro-life, but you ain't even protecting kids that's here.
Please go run out in traffic. Just all of you. Just go play in traffic. Black women are not here to clean up y'all's messes. And I wish we could afford to just stay at home and be like, y'all got it in the next elections. But we can't afford to because our lives are on the line. But y'all just going to expect us to save the day time and time again. And we just don't have the numbers to do that every fucking time. We didn't have it last year because y'all were fucking up. Yeah. We can't do it all by ourselves. The only reason why we were able to push Doug Jones over the top was because some of those raggedy asses in Alabama stayed their ass at home or wrote in Ken Saban or some other bullshit candidate. Nick Saban. They voted in somebody like a football personality instead of Roy Moore. So that's what it was. It was Black voters, particularly Black women. It was write-ins and trash-ass white people staying at home that enabled Doug Jones to get the victory, because the margin of victory was only like 1.5 percentage points. That's how close the race was. Y'all's trash ass pedophile candidate still hasn't conceded.
He is so ridiculous talking about he waiting on God.
God has decided.
Yeah.
It ain't you.
Yeah.
Lord, I heard one podcast say that Moore might set his sights on the governorship or even president, because mediocre white men fail upwards.
That's right, they do.
I mean, look at y'all's Cheeto Head president. Mediocre in every way, and that's being kind. All right, I think I'm done.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not really done, but
I know.
I would just be repeating myself and cussing a lot more. So, come on in to take it away.
Okay, so another catch the fade. Look, we can debate the legitimacy or the validity, the importance of awards and award show all day long, but let's be real about one thing. They bring attention to people, to artists and performers and things, and sometimes they need that boost. And so I'm looking at the Golden Globe Awards, and I'm also looking at the SAG Awards. I am especially looking at Golden Globes. First, before I get to the main reason why, they did not give Dee Reese a nomination for directing Mudbound when she had the perfect Oscar bait film. I might try to talk about that later at some other time, but she definitely should have got a nod from Golden Globes. Fuck y'all for not nominating her. And, you know, yeah, those other white women too. They probably should have gotten nods too. All men are nominated for director, and women have made some of the top grossing and best reviewed films of this year. But for somehow, Golden Globes didn't see any of that. Now, main reason I want to give Golden Globes and the SAG Awards the fade, how fucking dare you not nominate Tiffany Haddish? How fucking dare you overlook Girls Trip? Tiffany Haddish has probably had the best year out of anybody in Hollywood, because she had a major breakthrough role in like the highest grossing comedy of the year. And she just won, what did she just win? A New York Critics Award? New York Film Critics or New York Film, some type of New York Film Award, which is actually a major award. She just won it, okay? But somehow, you didn't think she deserved a nod for a Golden Globe, and I don't think she got nominated for a SAG Award either, which is an acting award. Like, I'm so glad I saw this, because I said it. I was saying this last time why I want her to get, you know, an Oscar nod for this role. Y'all really don't like to see black women in roles where we're not suffering. Y'all can't stand to see us happy and thriving and, you know, just, you know, having a good time being girls or whatever we do, you know, when y'all ain't around, because that is how we are when y'all ain't around. Fuck y'all. Okay? I'm like, see, this is why, like I said, I really, really wanted her, you know, to just really take this award season, because everything about that film was fun. You know, you don't have, you know, all the trauma, you know, you even like you, the bad things that are happening, they're made light of in a really fun way. And, you know, it was just a really good time. And she was just so skilled as a comedic actor. And that really needs to be recognized. I mean, it's like they said, Jada Pinkett Smith, she went the fuck off about this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Jada spilled the tea. I was waiting for it. She was like, I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to do it. And I was like, Jada, spill that tea, spill it. And she finally did. She got on Twitter and aired the Hollywood Foreign Press out. She said they haven't even seen the film.
How did you not see a film that like opened number one in the country?
The biggest original comedy of the summer.
They gave you a fucking screener. You didn't even have to go to the theater. You got a screener.
Meanwhile, a movie that has not finished, that has not been finished editing, has been nominated for Best Director, and for either lead or supporting actor.
Done with the film. They really, really want to pat themselves on the back for like work that do working so quickly for getting rid of Spacey and now putting Christopher Plummer, I believe, putting him in. I'm like, but the film isn't even finished yet. Like, do you even know what the film is about? Because I don't know what the film is about or anything. I don't know anything about the film except what went down.
But they'd rather give away that director's spot,
yep,
which they took from Dee Reese. Some people will say they took it from Patty Jenkins.
Yeah,
but
I've heard mixed things about Wonder Woman. If anything,
I can tell you.
Look, if anything,
a mixed film.
If any white woman they took that from, it would be Greta Gerwig, right now.
I've even heard things that.
That film was just average too, but for like award season than maybe like Wonder Woman was. So, I mean, nothing against action films, because I mean, yeah, they definitely are award worthy when you know you get a really good one, but it's like. Greta Gerwig's film, that sounds like, you know, Oscar bait. That sounds like Oscar bait trash too, you know, not trash, but you know what I mean.
Whatever. I'm not. She's
too.
I don't trust it.
She's way too hipster. She would be the one who did the right end.
Whatever.
Me either. But like you said, that
can't trust
that spot should have gone to Dee Reese. It really should have. I mean, even though that is one of those ones, there's just everybody's downtrodden. There's just mud everywhere. Because I mean, the mud is an entire ass character in that film. But I mean, it was just one of those perfect things, you know, adapted from a novel. And, you know, it's this period piece because the Academy loves period films. And it was well done. But it's like, still, you couldn't even nominate a Dee Reese. And it's also with Girl Trip. I mean, because y'all know good and well that they take into account, like, when films are popular and they make money. You know damn well they take that into account in award season. So I don't know why y'all trying to act like Girls Trip did not deserve any nods. Thank you.
And y'all went crazy over Bridesmaids.
And I finally saw Bridesmaids,
right?
And I'm like, okay. And.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to laugh. But, anyway, yes. Y'all owe her for Bessie. Y'all owe her for Pariah. Y'all fucked up. I can't say I'm expecting the Oscars to do much better, but we will see. Also, you can argue about awards, but, you know, certain awards can give an artist or an actor.
Exactly.
Credibility and
exactly.
The validity, and
exactly.
It's a bargaining chip. Like when you can take that into these halls of power and show it to these gatekeepers and be like,
yes.
And be like Michaela Cole, like I'm gonna write this series by myself, and I'm going to star in it. And
you
can't tell me shit because look at my BAFTAs, bitch. So that's why Jordan Peele worked so hard to get his movie into the musical or comedy category, even though the film isn't technically a comedy. He's playing the game because the awards will give him something to bring
I mean, it's
to the
like
table.
He's doing Twilight Zone,
it's
right
time
now.
To
he's
make
also
the deal
got some other deals
for his next
make. Imagine what he can do if he, you know, takes award season. Imagine what he can do then. That's why these awards matter. Okay, it's not nobody is, you know, searching for, you know, white approval or anything like that. No. We trying to get that door. We trying to get in that door and, you know, get opportunities. That's what that's about.
Yep.
Exactly.
And see some power. And that's the one thing yes. they don't want us to have.
Yes.
It's also why I wanted Barry Jenkins to win Best Director.
He should have. He really should have.
Over that Mayo Land director. He really should have. The beauty that he created on a budget that was a fraction of what the other nominees yeah. had. He had like
yeah.
he had couch cushion money compared to what
beautiful lens of storytelling.
Mayo Land director
just so
had
original and so
to
beautiful.
Work with.
Yes.
Cinematography was off the charts, so. Y'all might not think it's important, but to these artists of color, these actors of
yes.
color, it's important. So when
yeah, exactly.
so when we get snubbed, it's a bigger deal. Like. Patty Jenkins is going to be all right. She's mm-hmm. already negotiating to make more money for Wonder Woman 2.
Yep.
She's probably going to have more creative control because she's made the money. The movie made the money that
yep.
none of DC's other trash ass films have made.
We'll put it this way. She can fuck up now.
She's going to be all right.
Even if Dee Reese gets, you know, even if Dee Reese does get like an Oscar nomination, Dee Reese still ain't gonna be able to fuck up. Yep.
No.
Very much so. So
twice
yeah,
as hard for half
Golden
much.
Globe, SAG Awards that just totally overlooked these talented black
it's
women.
Bullshit.
Fuck y'all. You can catch all the fades because they deserve those nods. We looking real hard at you.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oscars, we looking at you. We looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Mean mug, ice grill. Don't fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and
we will be,
what?
Roasting y'all all up and down the timeline. It won't be pretty.
Yeah!
That's hashtag S.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about some hints. All right. So, you know, I realized, you know, The Last Jedi is out and,
yes,
you know, but we've already, nominated Oscar Isaac and
well,
John Boyega.
True.
To DWIDP.
Did you see the British folks?
And I would repeat them because they're just that
Lord.
Fine. But you know, I don't want to bore y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did, Lord. Yes, I did, Lord. Those are some beautiful ass men. Or as
oh yeah,
Saeed Jones from AM to DM would say.
No, I didn't
space
watch.
Dance.
I can't watch it yet for
Those
some reason.
Did you see that video where they read the thirst tweets? One tweet said, "I want John Boyega to suffocate me with his thighs." And
on the other hand, it's like, well,
on one hand,
I mean,
am laughing and appalled.
There's some things worth wishing for.
But on the other hand, same.
I saw the one somebody said, "I want Oscar Isaac to breastfeed me."
Vic Yeager is real.
Like what?
John And John's response was, do you lactate? Oscar. And Oscar said, no, I don't. But we could try it.
Yeah.
Like they handled those thirst tweets really well. But John's faces though, like, you know, his voice was calm, but it was all over his face. Like, yeah, he was. Woo, that was a little too much for his young British Nigerian heart. So, in the interest of not boring our six loyal listeners, we have some new print for you. Both of these guys are stars of the hit show on Sci-Fi, which is called Superstition. And first up, we have Mario Van Peebles, and he plays the patriarch of this creepy family that owns a funeral home. I think it's in Louisiana. I haven't seen it in a couple of weeks. I need to catch up, but they own this funeral home in the South, but you know, on the low, they fight demons. So it's like Supernatural, but way better because black people. And Mario Van Peebles is in it, and for a 60-year-old, he looks damn good. Like, I can't believe his ass is 60.
Yeah, cause I'm like, he's playing a dad to a 34-year-old, but technically, yeah, he could be, probably is, because I know he does have grown children, but I mean, I'm like,
because he be taking off his shirt 60. And he still got pecs, he still got abs. I'm like, okay, daddy. I mean, no, I'm not really saying that. I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm saying, but he's cat daddy age. He is cat daddy age without the beard, though.
Yeah,
you know, but the beard would hide the dimples. So
yeah, see, he can get away with no beard. But Mario Van Peebles always been fine too.
Been fine. He's been fine. Yeah, so I remember watching his ass. What was that show? Sunny really? Spoon. I'm old. I'm old, Ender.
Yeah, me too. I'm still thinking about New Jack City.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Panther, he directed those films.
I still remember him on Living Single, that episode. He and his dad. His real life dad.
Oh, God. Look out the window and find out you see himself.
Oh, man.
That little, flipping that hair around. Flipping that little thing.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was so hilarious. But yeah, Mario Van Peebles, I mean, just been out here, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the camera. Just
okay,
I mean,
he
has an impressive body of work.
Yes, and an impressive body. But he, for people who are not as old as I am, Mario Van Peebles is a film director and an actor. Of course, as Enda said, he directed New Jack City in 1991.
Yes.
He also directed a movie about the Black Panther Party called Panther, which had a bomb-ass soundtrack, as did New Jack City. He is also the son of director Melvin Van Peebles, who directed
Sweetback's Badass Song.
And I remember he was in this detective show. He played this detective.